Hi, so I'm also at CMU in the same group as Zach, and we both started work at the same time. Originally, we were trying to work on something else, and we thought, hey, we can use VMs. It'll be great. Everyone else is using them. So we put all of our applications inside VMs, and we got terrible performance. So we spent time looking around for the magic box to say, make our applications run faster. And we didn't find it. So we started doing this research instead. We took very different approaches. So Ak just went through his, where he was looking at very low level, looking at packets, finding dependencies. I kind of took the opposite approach, where instead of looking at every VM for all the applications, I just said, for the entire application stack, just give me the end user performance, and I'll try and figure out what's happening. So to say a few differences about the questions that people ask too, so first is I do use the utilization, CPU utilization, disk utilization, things like that. I don't try and use the packets. Generally, the utilization numbers are pretty easy to get from every host. Also, the model that I make is multidimensional, so it can include CPU and disk and network, other things of that sort. It's for disk and things like that, it's not that good yet because it's hard to control, but it works perfectly in the model. So I'll carry on and show some more results. So the basic work is that we all have data centers, whether it be at work or at home. And what we want is good performance, simple as that. But it can be very difficult to know. Once we put applications inside VMs, it's hard to know where bottlenecks are. It's hard to know where to assign resources. So what we really want is something that will just figure this out for us and just set the resources, and we get good performance. Simple as that. So this is what I'm going to talk about. Basically, I'm going to go over some current problems that we saw, my approach, our approach, some additional details, results, and conclusion. So this is a typical, very small data center, I'll say. So it's got a couple of applications in, a proxy, a web server, and a database each end. We've got some users using it, and they want a certain level of performance. So the problem is where to assign resources. For example, on the first box, does the proxy server need more or does the web server need more? Without the administrator sitting there and looking at it, looking at the performance of both applications, trying to figure out where the utilization is being used, how much each tier is contributing to response time, which can be quite consuming to do, it's kind of difficult to figure out where you should assign resources. And even if you did know what resources to assign, it's not really an easy mapping. For example, if I say, I'm going to give you 50% CPU, you don't know what your response time is going to be, versus if I give you 40% CPU. It's not just a direct mapping from here's a resource and here's a performance. So we need to try and figure out how do we go from resource assignment to actual system performance. And even if we can figure out this number, it's going to change throughout the day, right? Like at midday, you're probably going to need more resources than at midnight. There's going to be more users, so people are going to come along and do different things. So it's going to have to change throughout the day. We could just configure for peak load, but then obviously we're just going to waste resources, use more computers, so that's not a good thing. So we need to figure out the amount of resources you need and when you need them, try and make the users happy. So if the users aren't happy, then you won't be happy. So here's a simple overview of our approach. This is a slightly different approach. I just look at the utilization from the hosts and the VMs, which is CPU utilization, disk IOs, network sent, like received sent. Basically, collect all these values up and put a response time next to it for the application. So, i.e., the VM was using 30% CPU, and the next tier was using 20% CPU, and the next tier 30% CPU, and the host was using 10 meg of disk, and in the end, the performance was 200 milliseconds. Then I'll observe what happens next time, what happened when the CPU changed, what happened when the disk changed. And over time, you can build this up and infer how the effects on the VM are causing effects in performance. So then you can say, well, if I know the CPU is going up, I know I need to rearrange resources maybe on this other box because this guy is now busier, to try and balance out the performance. So after we observe this data, we create a model. The model, kind of gets complex. I've got a simple versions in here. But basically, it maps utilization values to performance. So you push in, here's the state of my data center with these applications, and it'll spit out, if you give this number of resources, you'll get this performance. That's the basic mapping we're looking for. So the last step is, once we have these models, obviously we use them to calculate the resources you need to meet the performance you want. And obviously, as this is going to change throughout the day, it's basically a constant control loop. So at the minute, I use every 10 seconds. So every 10 seconds, I look at the state of the computers, and I look at the performance you're getting, and I update the resource allocation. And then the next 10 seconds, I say, OK, now the performance has changed slightly. Now the situation has changed slightly. Update it again. So we're constantly going through this loop of updating resources and seeing what happens to the performance. Change the resources again, see what happens to the performance. And you can do this for every application. So the first thing we need to do is build our models. Oh, OK. So the next thing is the benefits, apparently. So here are a few of the benefits that I see, we see from our system. So basically, it can automatically identify where you need resources and where the bottlenecks in your systems are. From seeing that different resources change on different hosts, so for example, if in a time unit you have three hosts and two of them stay the same and one changed, you should be able to say any change in performance is caused all because of that one host. Once you have enough of these data points, you can basically infer where the bottlenecks are occurring and why, what resources are causing your change in performance. So once we know this, we can just automatically assign the resources for you, save you having to do it. Allows you to consolidate more because you're now using your resources more optimally. And lastly, because we're saying what level of resource assignment gives you what level of performance, the administrator can basically just say the level of performance they want. So if you give us a three-tier web application, you can just say, give me 200 millisecond response time. And if it's possible to get 200 milliseconds, then the system will find how to do it, and it will just do it automatically. Then if you want, instead, oh, I don't use that so much anymore, just make it 500 milliseconds, then it'll automatically change all the resources, consolidate it more, and try and give you 500 milliseconds instead. So there's a couple of assumptions we need to make. They're pretty simple, and we assume it's kind of easy. First is that we can monitor the applications. Since I'm using CPU utilization, disk utilization, network utilization, these things are commonly monitored anyway. So there's not really a problem with this. The second thing is that we need to be able to control the resources, obviously. If we can't control the resources, we can't speed up or slow down the VMs. Again, you can generally set CPU share. You can set access to I/O, slightly more difficult. But you can generally set access to any resource you want and how much the VM can access. The last thing is that the application performance need to be convex, which is basically that the application can't get faster as it's assigned less resources. And surprisingly, this does come up, which is a weird thing just for VMs. But since we figured out where this happens, we remove it from our system. So things never get faster given less resources. So this is the data we use. The top two things are the things that are the T and E. They're the things that are assigned by the administrator. So the administrator would say, I want 500 milliseconds 99% of the time, or I want 10 megabits of throughput 90% of the time. Whatever your goal is, you just kind of set it, and then the system will try and figure out what resources you need to make that happen. So the other things we can observe in the system. So we have the target performance, but obviously we have the actual performance. We can just view that. You can, however you want to do it. If the application reporters directly use that, you could actively probe, access some web pages, see what happens. ACK monitors packets, monitors delay, however you choose. So we can monitor these things. Basically, this thing on the bottom is the simple explanation of what we're trying to guarantee, which is to guarantee the performance you get is better than, or at least what you specify. That's how you guarantee it. Basically, what that says is, given some resource allocation, and given that we have this model, is this resource allocation enough to get the response time I want or the performance I want? So here's a simple example of the model. This is just kind of one-dimensional. So in this case, we've monitored when the CPU gets busier, what happens to our response time? And obviously, as you'd expect, as the CPU gets busier, the response time for our application got worse. Any data, obviously, we're not going to have every single data point for every single possible combination of resource uses in the data center. So we just curve fit, interpolate data, try and fit in data that we don't have. So once we have this model, we then try and predict how much resources you'll need to get the response time you want. So in this simple model, we could just draw a line. If our target's 150 milliseconds, just draw a line at 150 milliseconds. And then look up your CPU utilization. So if it's at 30% in this case, you'd say, oh, maybe I need about 20% resource. If it's at 40%, maybe I need about 35% resource. Obviously, this is the simple version. As we got more complex, if we just add in one more tier with just one CPU, then it would turn into kind of a 3D map. Whereas in this case, if we want 150 milliseconds, then we could choose any value kind of across this blue region. So just to flatten that out, we could choose any value around here. In this case, it seems quite L-shaped. If we chose a different resource contention value, then it's kind of more curved. For every application, it's different. And as you can see from this, it's not linear, really, at all. It's a pretty weird shape. But the system will model that. We'll take that into account. So also, this gets pretty highly dimensional. I'm not sure if I have a slide in here. So what we do is I do have the slide. I'll get to that in a minute, actually. Right. So let's assume that we take out some values from this at 150 milliseconds, and we say, if we want 150 millisecond response time, these are the resource allocation values we need. So we do this for every application. And we'll basically have a big table that says, I need these resource allocations on this host, any of these combinations of resource allocations. Every application will say this. We can then use a convex optimization to basically find a solution that will fit every application. So that's basically, it just says that every application says, here's all my potential values. This just finds the intersection where everyone is going to be happy. So it just gives us this matrix at the end. And it says, choose these values, and your solution will work. If there's not a solution that will work, instead of having a 0 and a 1 for a choice, it will say have a 0.7 and a 0.3. So it will say none of the solutions work, but this 0.7 is slightly better than the 0.3. This also actually helps us identify hotspots. So obviously, if this isn't 0 and 1, we can just check. Then where any application that doesn't have a 0 and 1 means it's on a host which is overutilized, and something has to be migrated. You can also set priorities for different applications if there's something you wanted to do. Again, that just gets taken into account when it does the optimization, that the lower priority, actually in this case, gives you a better chance of getting your resources, because to the optimizer, you look a cheaper option to give resources to. So this will spit out a value which should make everyone meet the guarantees. So obviously, as I said a minute ago, with all these dimensions and all the different hosts, it's going to get fairly highly dimensional. I mean, if we consider disk and CPU and maybe network, and it's a three-tiered application, I mean, that's 9 dimensions already. But so this is per application. These don't actually... It doesn't all get added up. So if you had 2 applications, it's 2 9-dimensional models, not 1 18-dimensional model. But we still would like to reduce the number of dimensions. So what we do is perform regression analysis across the values we get to basically try and identify which dimensions in the model are important and which ones aren't. So in this case, if we see that maybe the CPU has stayed the same in some of the values, but the disk has changed a lot, but the performance didn't change, then we could just say, well, apparently disk doesn't affect performance very much, because because when the disk was changing, the performance didn't really change. But when we can see that the CPU did change, the performance changed, so we'll say CPU is important. So this means we're basically just trying to model CPU more, or maybe just we could either just get rid of the disk entirely and say it's not important, or just add it in as a simple value, just saying use disk contention times 0.1 and add on that many more resources. So obviously, every application will be different. This is just performed online in real time, identifies which ones are important, which ones aren't, and just changes the model and reduces them as it goes, just to be more efficient. So for experiment, I used a TPCW benchmark kind of web server. It's like a fake bookstore. And every host also had another Apache web server with some web pages on that I was just accessing as a reference. Also, so you can see in my case, I just measure the performance of the application at the end. So for the three-tiered application, I still only take one performance value because I'm basically interested in what the user sees. I don't care if it's fast between the database and the web server if in the end the user gets a bad experience. So I just take one reading at the end and infer what's happening in the rest of the system. So here's our results when we're using our system. Down the bottom is how the CPU contention was changing on the box. So what I basically did was I made a script with some arbitrary numbers in and just made it loop through, use up the CPU at random points, and see what happened. So you can see at the top, I've set it to try and get 100 milliseconds out TPCW. Below, try and get 150 milliseconds out. As you can see, it follows it fairly well. Like the 100 milliseconds is along the 100 milliseconds quite a lot. The 150 is along the 150 quite a lot. There are some spikes above. This is generally caused by, if you see right at the start as well, right at the start, the 100 milliseconds is pretty bad. It's way above, and it dives all the way down. This is basically because the model has no information on what's going on in the system. So it probably kind of, at the start, just said, oh, you have 20% utilization. And it was way too bad. So then it said, oh, we'll give it 80% resource allocation. And then it was way too good. So basically oscillating at the start. As time goes on, these models should get better as you're learning more data. These were pretty short runs. It's like 20 or 30 minutes. Obviously, as you can imagine, that applications in your data center will run for days or months at a time. So it'll give you plenty of time to build up this information. I should have really ran longer experiments. This should basically converge to the line and very rarely go over. So to compare, we also have the where we set static resource allocations of 50% and 10%. And as you can see, they just do what they do. As it gets busier, the response time gets worse. Simple as that. Whereas our system moves around the resources so that we always meet the response time we want. So this is a summary of those results in that table. So as you can see, even though the response time was better for our application, so in the 100 millisecond case, it actually averaged 89 milliseconds. The resource allocation was only 48% on average, which is less than the 50% case, but the response time is better. This is basically because we're using the resources a lot more efficiently. When it's just statically set, the scheduler's coming along, given it the resources. And if it hasn't got any workload, it just sits there and just wastes them, which isn't very good. So you can see from the other web server that is on the box, its response time is 125 milliseconds for ours and 120 for the other one. So it's only a 5 millisecond difference, whereas the response time for the first application is way better. When we try and set our system to meet the 150 millisecond response time when it's set 50% resource allocation, we actually got 127 milliseconds on average, but we only use 35% on average of the resource allocation, which is quite a lot less. And the other web server on the box, or the boxes on average, only experienced 107 milliseconds. So actually, both applications performed better by dynamically setting the resources over static allocation. Again, it's because we removed the waste of a VM being assigned a resource and then just sitting there holding on to it and not doing anything. So by dynamically assigning the resources where they are actually needed, you can improve response time across all of your applications. So in addition, So in this case, I'm just showing that here is the CPU that was changing. And this is the amount of resources the boxes received. So as you can see, about the 200th time unit, which are actually in 10 seconds, there's a huge spike in the CPU usage on the SQL box. But as you can see from the resource allocations, the CPU usage didn't actually go up. That just happens that because in this test, the CPU box wasn't very heavily utilized. So the system has kind of modeled this and seen that actually the CPU allocation on the SQL box doesn't make much difference. So if we go back and look at 200 time unit on both of them, there isn't like a huge spike up to 400 millisecond response time or anything, because actually they didn't need more resources, so the system didn't give them more resources. So this just shows that it's not just randomly assigning resources on some kind of average. It is actually doing this mathematically, calculating where they are really needed, and then assigning them. So in addition to changing resource utilization on the boxes, we also ran it where we change the number of users coming into the application. Obviously, when there's more users, you'd need more resources. So how we measured this was we just measure the utilization that the VMs were trying to use. So if the VMs were trying to use more resources because they had more users, then we'd say, well, they still need to meet their response time goals. So as you can see, again, when we set 100 milliseconds, it's pretty on the line. 150 milliseconds is, again, pretty on the line. And the static resource allocation, again, isn't quite as good. And again, we have this effect where at the start of the experiment, our system is too high and then too low, just because it hasn't built the model yet of where to assign the resources. So in this case, we can basically show that if the number of users in the system changes, or if the resource contention because of someone else changes, the system will still change the resources in such a way that you'll meet the response time you want. So in conclusion, basically, we try and automatically calculate the resources to save the administrators having to do it, to save people having to provision for peak load. With doing this, you can consolidate more because you'll be using less resources, using them more efficiently. And hopefully, because you can just set high-level SLOs, say, give me 200 milliseconds 90% of the time, it should kind of make system administration job easier in that you can just set your high-level goal and the system will go away and do all the work for you. Thanks. That's the end. Yeah, any questions?
Is there some code available that people can download and play with?
We are not going to be releasing the code, I've been told.
Bummer.
Yeah, my advisor does not want to give it away for free.
Hi. Just in terms of workload balancing, do you have idle VMs ready to go that you shift tasks off onto, or do you automatically spin up new VMs?
So we have another piece of work which wasn't included in this where it uses the same equation, but it uses past day's workloads and tries to predict. So you basically say a point in the future, what is my workload going to be at that point? And it will try and spin them up at some point in advance. So they won't be sitting there all day. They'll maybe say, in 30 minutes, I think I might need one. So it'll spin one up before you need it, but not exactly when you need it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. Mm-hmm. First one is that did you change any of the schedulers to allocate certain CPU bandwidth for that? Have you made any change to the schedulers?
Well, we didn't change the scheduler itself. We just used the C groups to change the resource allocation that the scheduler gives out.
Okay. My second question is about your online model. Can you give us a little more explanation about how do you model online? Is it kind of linear kind of model? How did you provide feedback to the model to adapt to the change of the performance?
Yeah, so okay. So the modeling is kind of adaptive. That it starts out when there's very few data points, it starts off linear. As it gets more data points, I think there's about 15 different kernels I try and fit to get the best shape. When it gets even more data points, it tries to fit like an ND surface over the data points. So it basically tries to, as you have more data, it tries to fit the model better and better.
And how much overhead do you have to collect those data and to kind of to the regression to fit, you know, fit the data points?
It's not too bad. So in the I say not too bad. It will get up to at least hundreds to about 1,000 VMs you can do. And this is it's actually pretty scalable. So in this picture, we also have a placement scheme. And anywhere where a chain of VMs doesn't go across, you can just distribute it. So in this case, you could just say, OK, that's two parts of the data center. Can be treated totally different. When you can do up to 1,000 applications at once, that's not VMs. So an application might have 10 VMs, but it still counts as one. So when you can do about 1,000 applications at once, and you can split them up if they're not in a chain, it's a pretty big data center it should be able to handle.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.